I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, $90,000 stuffed into a freezer, plans to bribe government officials in Africa. No, it's not the latest summer thriller. It's the latest trial of a disgraced politician featuring former Louisiana Congressman William Jefferson. We'll hear what the jury decided and how it's playing back home in New Orleans in just a few minutes. But first, history in the making. Yesterday afternoon, the Senate confirmed Judge Sonia Sotomayor's nomination to the Supreme Court, making her the first person of Hispanic heritage to serve on the High Court. Here's the roll call at yesterday's Senate vote.
Mr. Leahy.
Aye.
Mr. Levin.
Aye.
Mr. Levin.
Aye.
Mr. McCain.
No.
With Sotomayor's confirmation assured, the question now turns not only to the impact she'll have on the court, but also what impact the confirmation fight may have on the political scene. Only 9 Republican senators voted for Sotomayor, and several of those voting no, like Arizona Senator John McCain and Texas Senator John Cornyn and Kay Bailey Hutchison, have large Latino constituencies who have embraced Sotomayor's achievements as their own. Others chose to make Sotomayor the first no vote of their careers on a Supreme Court nominee. So what might all this mean for the upcoming political races and the next Supreme Court nominee? For answers, we called Eva Rodriguez of the Washington Post editorial board. She's a former Supreme Court reporter and a former editor-in-chief of Legal Times. Also joining us is Celinda Lake, president of Lake Research Partners. Her firm has been surveying the attitudes of Latino voters throughout the confirmation hearings, and she joins us on the phone from Las Vegas. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It's nice to be here.
I just want to play a short clip of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid talking about the vote. Here it is.
Many have emphasized the importance of putting the first Hispanic on the nation's highest court. This is truly historic for our entire nation, but especially for the young Latinos in this country who will see in Judge Sotomayor concrete evidence of the heights to which they can legitimately aspire.
I wanted to ask each of you, that is a tall order. I mean, it suggests that there are dimensions to this vote beyond that of the job itself. And I wanted to ask if you think that's true. Eva, do you think that's true?
I think it is, and I think it's fair. Symbolically, you look at the court, you look at the faces on the court, and it would be shocking in this day and age if all we saw were white male faces. Having said that, what I focus on is the fact that Sotomayor is an incredibly accomplished woman. Her record, the fact that she toiled under difficult circumstances to reach the heights that she's reached. That, to me, is what's really heartwarming. That she's Hispanic is a bonus to me.
Okay. And Celinda, what about you? And particularly, what do your surveys bear out? Do your surveys suggest that this nomination has dimensions apart from any other political appointment or even Supreme Court appointment?
I think it does. There are two different dimensions that are really, really important. First of all, we should note that a solid majority of the public supports the nomination, the confirmation. But there are two groups that I think this can have an impact on. One is obviously Latino voters. And 68% of Latinos thought that Sotomayor was qualified. Only 7% thought she wasn't. 64% wanted their U.S. senator to vote for her confirmation. Only 10% didn't want them to. And that included 74% of Democrats, 64% of Independents, and 52% of Republicans, Latino Republicans, who thought she was qualified, and similar numbers wanting their senator to vote for her. But there's also a gender dynamic to her as well in the wider Anglo community. Women really liked her nomination across racial lines. So I think in one very visible vote, the Republican Party has hurt themselves both with Latino voters and with women voters, groups that Bush and Karl Rove had defined were key to their future victories.
How do you, Celinda, analyze the majority of the Republican caucus in the Senate who lined up against her? And of the 9 who voted for her, several are retiring. Most do not have large Latino constituencies. What do you make of that?
Well, it seemed like the reason, first of all, the ones that voted for her included a number of women and included also the ones who are retiring and don't have to worry about the right wing. And there were partisan divisions on the nomination, and particularly as the Pew Survey research poll showed, particularly conservative Republicans were against her nomination. So I think the possibly the best example are the two Texas senators voting against her despite having substantial Hispanic votes, despite, in the case of Kay Bailey Hutchinson, running for governor, where she would probably want both Latino voters, as George Bush went after Latino voters for his governorship, and women votes. And I think she did damage on both. So I think that the Republican vote reflected the deep divisions within the Republican Party between the moderate Republicans they get in the general election and the more conservative Republicans they rely on in their primaries.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the confirmation of Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. We're talking about whether this confirmation fight will have political impacts down the road, particularly on Republicans. The majority of Senate Republicans voted against her confirmation. Eva, you wrote a column taking exception to the idea that Latino voters will sort of seek retribution against the Republican senators who voted against her. You were specifically reacting to a comment by political strategist Lionel Sosa, who is a Republican, by the way, that Sotomayor is a symbol of Hispanic leadership. You said that Sosa was quoted as saying that Latinos see her as a symbol of Hispanic leadership in America, and if they vote against Sotomayor, it's a vote against Hispanic leadership. And you wrote, "Did I miss the memo?" And yeah, so.
And I did, apparently.
Yeah, apparently you did. But you say, well, you know, you said that this is insulting because it suggests that Latinos are ill-informed and have no idea what Sotomayor thinks about due process or preemption or disparate impact analysis under Title VII. But she's one of us, and that's good enough. But, okay, no disrespect, but do you really think that most voters, whatever their ethnicity, know about Title VII and disparate impact process or preemption or any of that stuff? I mean, isn't that really how most voters make decisions, based on impressions?
Absolutely. And isn't that terrible? But in my defense, the next paragraph basically says that. There are a lot of people out there who really know nothing about her jurisprudence, her professional life, who have formed very strong opinions.
But based on Selena's analysis and her reporting and her survey work, I mean, why do you challenge the notion that Latinos will remember this and will hold this vote against Republicans?
I challenge the notion, number one, that we all think alike. And unfortunately, Mr. Sosa strongly said that. I also strongly challenge the notion that we should hold it against Republicans. After all, we don't like being judged as an ethnicity group or, you know, if you're a woman, being judged based on the fact that you're a woman. We want, I hope, to be judged on our merits as individuals. And so we should look at the 31 Republican senators who voted against her and say, why did they do that? Do we agree or do we disagree? And even if we disagree, were there some valid reasons for them to do so? Do I think John McCain is a racist, Orrin Hatch is a racist? Absolutely not. Do I think they had legitimate concerns based on the Wise Latina stuff?
You think that speech was sufficient cause
to vote
against her?
Well, it wasn't just one time. She made that speech over and over and over and gave variations on a theme over and over and over, leading you to believe, if you hadn't examined her record, that she could be one of those people who got on the bench and said, I like you, I'm voting for you. The law be damned.
Let's talk about what effect you think this will have on future nominations. There are those who suggest, and I'm glad you're with us because you also cover the Supreme Court in addition to all your other attributes, and there is a suggestion that if the Republicans couldn't be persuaded to vote for somebody with this level of experience and for most people considered to be well within the mainstream, then why shouldn't the administration pursue a more progressive or more left candidate, if you will, the next time? What's your take on that?
I think that what may very well happen is that the administration tries to pursue somebody who looks even more conservative, you know, if you will. Someone who hasn't given a speech in her entire life, has not said anything controversial. Because after all, we've got 2010 coming up. If you lose, you know, if you lose any, there's not that much of a margin of error, really, in the Senate. And if President Obama loses a few more points in the polls, he may not feel as emboldened. So I think what may happen, and part of the Republican strategy here, was to say, she's safe, she's going to get on board, but let's make an example of this nomination and make sure we don't get, quote unquote, more extreme nominees in the future. By the way, she is not extreme.
Okay. So, Linda, what's your take on this?
I think that Well, I think that's an interesting theory that I hadn't actually thought about before, and I'm not the expert that Eva is on the Supreme Court. I think, on the other hand, there's going to be quite a bit of pressure from the base to have a more progressive nominee, and I think that as, you know, those couple of points shave off of Barack Obama, he's going to be even more dependent on the enthusiasm of the base for the 2010 elections and for his own popularity. So I think it could go either way, and it's hard to say right now.
Now, of course, no one wants to reduce Sonia Sotomayor to her demographic characteristics, but she is a woman as well as Latina. And so, Celinda, given your sort of poll findings, does that suggest to you that the president has more latitude in selecting a man, that the politics of the nominee will become more relevant? What do you think?
I think that's right. And I think also in terms of keeping the base happy, and I think Barack Obama pays a lot of attention to the base, and also won more than Democrats have in the past, less with triangulation, more with creating enthusiasm among the base, mobilizing the new and changing demographic. But I think because Sotomayor was a woman and a Latino and had such a compelling personal story, much of the left went along appealed to by that. But I think there'll be closer examination of the ideology on future nominations.
Eva, final question to you. The scrutiny that Judge Sotomayor experienced through the course of this process, you know, people visiting the projects where she grew up, does this continue, or now that she's confirmed, does she put on the robe and kind of disappear?
Well, I think what tends to happen is they kind of disappear. I really do. I mean, maybe it goes on a little bit longer because of the novelty of this nomination, but they basically do. They become cloistered and just hand down decisions that affect all of us.
Well, we won't be. We'll still be here. Eva Rodriguez is a writer for the Washington Post editorial board. She focuses on legal issues. She's a former editor-in-chief of the Legal Times, and she was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. So Linda Lake is the president of Lake Research Partners, and she was on the phone with us from Las Vegas. I thank you both so much.
Thank you very much.